on, and I'm not going to get done with this tonight because I'm going to do my best. I'm trying to condense the messages down some from not being as long-winded. Don't work real good usually for me, but I am trying. Really, I am. I may start trying a little harder. So I had at least, I think, two different people told me this week. One said, "I sure love coming to White Oak, but I just can't stay till 1 o'clock. And I've had a lot of encouragement this week, really I have. And it may help me. I may live a little longer if I slow down. But it's hard to do that. But tonight we're going to try to finish up with chapter 7. Then we've got one more chapter, and I'm going to do my best Sunday, Lord willing, and Terry's. And we start back on this. We'll do our best to finish up a Sunday in this series. We've been preaching for a while on I Have the Victory Over. We've covered a lot of ground, even in chapter 7. But we've got down to a place I understand, you know, no doubt some folks ain't as excited about this as I am. And I tell you, I preached two different camp meetings this year, and I told Brother Wendell, I think I mentioned it. Let's see. Have I been here? Yeah, I've been here since then. I mentioned it here. I told Brother Wendell, I tell you, it was rough. I mean, I fought devils. And I know a lot of folks think sometimes, when the anointings are not flowing like it ought to flow, and it's a press and a pull, try it sometime. See how you react. Sometimes you say, you know, you'll say things a little more harder or harsh. And I told Brother Wendell, I said, "Brother, you don't ever have to ask me to preach again." There's times it's joyous, and I can tell you there's times you'd rather be doing anything else other than what you're doing. But if you're doing what you know that God's placed in your life to do, then I'm going to get the same reward, folks. It may not be easy here, but I'll get the same reward. So tonight, and I still preach probably close to an hour. It's rough, but I I still probably preach close to an hour. You help me tonight, and I'm going to do my best. I'm going to start trying to work on it. And I have been trying to work on it probably for a while, and I ain't gained a lot. Well, I don't think I've preached an hour and a half in a while. But I'm not going to tell anybody that service might not last till 1 o'clock. But I'd say, and I know folks have got things to do, and people get tired, people get wore out. But if a preacher can stand and holler and wear himself down preaching, we ought to be able to sit and at least grunt once in a while he's preaching, hadn't we? Help us preach a little while tonight, the book of Joshua chapter 7. We're going to try to finish up with this tonight. Just got a few points we want to bring out. Folks, this is really the sad part of this message from chapter 2 on over. Now, it gets better after this. But do you know that sin always, it throws, the old-timers say, a wrench in the cogs. It stops everything. It messes everything up. Sin's always done that, and it always will. That's just the way it is. Sin will separate us from relationship with God. Now, sometimes folks can sin, and boy, at the time it's pleasant. But the consequences always bring bad results. Makes no difference how joyous it may have been at that present time. It'll bring a consequence of death and separation. Chapter 7, stand with us if you can tonight. We'll begin reading in... I'm going to just back up into verse number 8 and read down through a few verses. Because I touched on this, but I didn't get through with this Wednesday night. Joshua chapter 7, verse number 8. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall envire us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what will thou do unto thy great name? I want you to remember that. Verse number 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Verse number 11. Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have ever taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen. And this, how do you say that word? Assembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Now, I believe the Lord spoke this to Joshua for a reason. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemy, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were cursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except, if we want the victory, there's an except there. You destroy the accursed from among you. Verse number 13 says, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is a cursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemy until you take away the accursed from among you. You can be seated. I want to continue. Preach a little while on I have the victory over. Want you to notice here, I stated Wednesday night, I'm going to deal briefly with this, getting on to where we're at in this message. But I dealt just briefly Wednesday night with how that Joshua, he's complaining unto the Lord. He's saying unto the Lord, the people's going to mock, the people's going to see, we're not able to stand, but we've turned our backs. And what's that going to do unto thy great name? He's leaving this in the hands of God. And here's what God says to Joshua. He says in verse number 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get up, get thee up, therefore, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned and have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Now, as God began to impress upon my heart how it's so sad today, now, folks that didn't realize why the victory had left the camp of Israel should have known that because God said, the only way that I'm going before you, we've got a covenant here. You're going to have to keep my word. And folks, if it's ever been that way, it's still that way today. And I want you to, if we let down in just a little area of our life, that simply means the victory will begin to leave our life. If we're going to keep the victory, we've got to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Did you notice? I want to jump ahead for just a moment. In verse number 13, God spoke to Joshua and he said to him, get up, sanctify yourself, and the people sanctify themselves against tomorrow. Why? Because judgment's coming tomorrow. Judgment's coming tomorrow. If you were to look back in chapter 3, you would find that also these same words were stated in chapter 3. They're getting ready to fight the battle. There has to be a battle, Brother Nathan, before there's a victory. They're getting ready to fight the battle of the unknown. And God says, as he spoke through Joshua, you've never been hitherfore this way. You've not been here before. It's a battle of the unknown. And he said, you're going to have to sanctify yourself. What are you saying in that? Preacher, I'm saying God said, you're going to have to get ready for the battle of the unknown. And God's only going to lead you if you're set apart from the world. And here in chapter 7, verse number 13, he's making the same statement. But he's saying, against tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be judgment. Could I say tonight that very well tomorrow could be judgment for someone here today? That we could go out of this life ready to face God or unready. And tomorrow will be judgment. We must sanctify ourselves against tomorrow. We don't know if there'll be a tomorrow. And God spoke to Joshua and said, here's the reason. If we're not careful, it makes no difference who we are. It's just easier for us to find somebody else to blame. Have you ever found yourself blaming God when there's nobody else left? Sister Gail, I have. Well, God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you do this? God, why don't you do this? Or why don't you do that? And I found myself before, just like I see Joshua here. I can tell you, folks, it's almost an embarrassment that we're able to stand against such a great enemy as Jericho. And we wrought a great victory. Why? Because we were sanctified. We were set apart. The accursed thing hadn't come in. We begin to take the little things into our life. Could I say tonight that the Word of God said, speaking to the same group of people, the little foxes what spoils the vine. It's the little things that come in and spoil. It may not always be a Goliath. It could very well be something little, such as a little four-footed critter furry, like a fox that seems harmless. But I can tell you, as he's stating that, simply meaning they come into the vineyards at the time of harvest and begin to spoil those clusters, those choice grapes in that vineyard. And God's comparing that to our lives today. It's those little things we don't guard again. You can fight against the Goliaths of the Philistines. But those little things, if we're not careful, we let them come in. And they'll cause us not to have the victory over. This is a sad picture. Joshua was declaring, if you backed up just a little before, verse 1 and 2, 3 of chapter 7, you'd find Joshua sends the men out to spy. They come back and says, well, there's no need. Man, we had such a great victory in Jericho, and all the people labored there. There's no need in sending all the people. We got this sold up. I mean, as we'd say it today, it's a piece of cake. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 of the men, and we'll take Ai. They're not big at all. Isn't going to be much of a battle. But I can tell you, and I believe that's one of the reasons that Joshua come to God such as he did here, because I believe it was an embarrassment. Israel turned their backs, and it's not only that 36 men lost their life. That's a horrible thought. It's a terrifying thought to somebody. Somebody says, well, that isn't too bad. There's 3,000 men there. But I can tell you, you ask those 36 men if you could talk to them, and they'd say it's a horrible thing. We lost our life in a battle we should not have died in. And now, the victory's not there. They run, and their hearts melted and ran as water. And simply because they had broken the covenant of God, they went against the Word of God, and they began to take the things of the world and place it among their own stuff. You see, God spoke this for a reason. Listen, it's such a disgrace, and it's an embarrassment to the church of the living God when we see people today that are taking the things of the world, such as the Babylonian garment, the wedge of gold, and the shekels of silver. It's an embarrassment to the church of the living God to see they're putting it right among the stuff of God. Placing it right among the stuff of God. Getting down to where we started reading. Joshua was saying, the enemies, why the Syrians and the Canaanites, all of our enemies, they're going to hear of this. Oh, it's going to be a mockery. They're going to say, and I want you to notice something here. The enemies feared, and their hearts melted for fear before the church took of the world. Now, since the church become like the world and partook of the world, now God said, I'll not be with you. I'll not fight for you no more. It's not that army of the Israelites they're dreading. It's the God of that army of the Israelites. That's their dread. That's their fear. And now I can see Joshua's hit the nail on the head. He's going to say, now they're going to make a mockery of us. They're going to not fear us, but we're going to fear them. We've come into a time today. Read your paper, listen to the news occasionally, and you'll hear, I haven't heard it in a year or so, thank God, or two maybe, but occasionally you hear people just driving by church house, going in and begin to random shoot somebody, whether it be women, children, elder, whatever, and it begins to panic. Listen, religion says we better not go back to church.
Come on. Yeah.
Why we're apt to get shot. It's getting so bad. The devil's so mad. We're apt to get shot. Guess what? There's a man pulled up to McDonald's one day, and he just began to shoot folks. It was there ordering a Happy Meal. It wasn't anybody he knew. He's just a random. He's led of the devil, and he began to shoot folks. I can't tell it slowed anybody down at McDonald's one bit. If you pull up to the double line, there's 10 cars on both sides. You go inside, it's elbow room only. I can't tell anybody has cut back on eating the Big Macs. Woo, glory. But I can sure tell it affects folks. Brother Larry, when one incident happens in the house of God, it hadn't been many years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, we read in the paper, Diane did, she's the carrier of bad news. I don't very seldom read the paper, but she carried me this back. And I tell you, folks, it just devastated me. I believe, if I ain't mistaken, this was in the Springdale area, maybe. I'm not sure. It might have been in Oklahoma. Diane maybe can remember. But there was a Baptist church having a board meeting, and it got so out of hand that first thing you know, one of them real religious people went right out in the automobile, got a gun, come back in, killed 2 or 3 of those board members. I believe the preacher and a couple of the board members. And I thought, dear God in heaven, but I can tell you what religion will do. Those that aren't sanctified, what makes that happen? Folks, what makes that happen? There's sin in the camp. We have taken the accursed thing. We have broken the covenant of God. And God said, I'll not be there any longer. I'll not go before you. I'll not put the dread and the reverence and the fear there. Look, church, there's a world out there that has no respect for the house of God. They have no fear and reverence to the house of God. Here a few years ago, in a full gospel church, there was 2 young men come. I wasn't there, but my wife and some of the family was there. There was 2 young men come and sat on the next to the back seat on the left, right as you come in. Had their shirts unbuttoned, I believe wearing shorts. I ain't sure about that, but I believe. And sat there in the church trying to smoke. No reverence, no fear for the house of God. Somebody said, somebody ought to went and got a hold of that individual and have drug him to the altar. No, if you'd have went and got a hold of the devil, he'd have just blacked your eyes. What we need to do is get a hold of this holy God before we come to the house of God. Get set apart and get rid of the stuff that's hid behind religion and say, God, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. It's coming down to this. Very well could be this year. You'll either sell out or get out. Did you hear what I said? reason why you'll fear the human nature of Leodai cannot stand against what's coming upon this earth. I'm either going to get out or sell out. It'll be one of the two. And I believe, church, it's going to be real soon. I believe that with all my heart. And I can tell you how we begin to sell out is when we do, as God said to Joshua, if you're going to cross the Jordan, friend, you've got to be sanctified beforehand. You can't make this battle of the unknown and be victorious in it without selling out to God. You cannot fight against the battle of the enemy, whether it seem to be little or whether it be big. We just come through a great battle, and God gave the victory because everything was done just like God said. Now we're fighting in a small battle. It seems very little, and we've even stated we don't even need everybody to help in this. We got it all under control. When you think you stand, take heed, lest you fall. I stated Wednesday night, let me state this again. I'm jumping the gun again a little bit in this, in the next chapter, chapter 8. In this battle, everybody gets to take of the spoil. If you're not careful, you got a few, the big eyes, and here I am, the little ewes. I was talking to a preacher back a few years ago. A preacher that I think a lot of, not of the same faith, but I believe he's a man of God. He don't believe like just exactly like I do, but that's neither here nor there. Probably ain't very many that does, if anybody. But I can tell you this, if he's washed in the blood of Jesus and he's doing everything he can, if he's striving to enter in, I believe he will. One day, I saw this car. Man, it was an expensive car. I'm figuring probably in the $40,000 range. And I said, man, where did you come up with something like that? You'll never believe what happened. There's a little lady, no family, never been married. All of her siblings, see, I'm graduating a little. I just learned. I think that's brothers and sisters. Is that right? All her brothers and sisters, they're done dead. She has no immediate family around here, none at all that she knows of. And I got acquainted with her back some time ago, and she just loved me to death, and I'd pray with her. And when she died, she put me in her will. She left me a house and mountain home that's worth over at least $100,000 plus, no doubt, and a lot, and left me this car and a pretty good large amount of cash, bank money. And I sat there and I thought, now God, this just ain't fair. And here's what I'm thinking in the back of my mind, he don't even need it. He's got about 8 or 10, maybe a dozen rent houses. That may not be good. That's a lot of trouble. But I know that he's got money. I know it does. And you get to thinking, well, that just ain't fair. Nobody's ever left me nothing. And if anybody willed anything to me, it'd be a debt they left behind. It'd be something bad. I said, nobody's ever, you know how you do. No, you don't. But I know how I do. You don't know how it is, but I do. I get to feeling sorry for myself. I said, And then I thought, I believe I even preached just a little straighter and harder than he does, and look what I get. You know what the devil says? Maybe if you'd lean up just a little bit and lighten up, somebody might leave you a will. And I thought, well, I don't believe the best is yet to come. What I'm going to get out of this world anyhow, and what he got might take him to the grave, but it won't go any farther, even though I know sometimes some of those things can be a blessing and be good. But I'm saying that for this reason. Listen, folks, they had a right to the spoil, and if you're not careful, some will think, well, we don't want them going into the battle. We're going to fight this battle alone. We can't fight this battle alone. Now, the 3,000 might have been sufficient had they had the God of Israel, the dread of the Ais going before them. But they didn't have. Listen, we've got folks that's out there in the world, and they're looking at the church and they're looking down on the church. They don't have respect for the house of God, neither do they have respect for God. Here, I'm going to clue you in the reason why. It used to be the devil was afraid to come in and march into the house of God because the house was sanctified. It was set apart, and the blood of Jesus been applied. If that devil crosses the bloodline, all I got to say, he's a saved devil, whoever it may be. If it's your brother, my brother, or your sister, my sister, your mother, my mother, father, whoever it is, if they cross the bloodline, they're saved. But I thought, but today, there's so many that things that's happening, and it's simply because folks don't have respect or fear or reverence. And the reason why is the church don't have fear and respect and reverence. How can we expect the world to reverence something we don't reverence?
Amen.
How can we expect the world to fear when we don't fear?
Yeah. Come on.
It's sad in America when we see where we've come to.
Yeah.
I've seen the penalty. Let me hurry. I'm going to be long-winded as ever. I see the penalty. If you begin to look at this in verse number 13, the people's got to be sanctified. Verse number 14, judgment's coming's a reason for this. Verse number 14, Joshua after prayer meeting. Do you know things always go better when we prayed? We always got a better understanding. We've always got a better spirit when things are took in prayer and we spend time before God and let God begin to lead, guide, and direct our lives. The victory always seems to come when we do this. Listen, folks, I can tell you every one of us are letting down. The reason we used to have results, we paid the price. There'll be a time come. My preaching's entirely changed from what it used to be. Most of you know that. And I think most of it for the better. I think, now maybe everybody else don't. But I do. I've been delivered from the fear of the people. But I know there's a time, there's times that If we didn't shout and jump and everybody just really reacting in it, that I'd think, boy, we just ain't had church. But that ain't all. That isn't what church is about. That isn't what church is about. That's fine in its place. If there's a shout, now there's some folks. It's. Now I tell you, it's dwindling down everywhere. The shout's dwindling down everywhere, except for the full pledge charismatic. And I think most of them's crippled too high for crutches to help. So they ain't never realized that they ain't got the victory. Now I'm not, I might not already even said that. But I did. I'm trying to be more choice. It's hard on what I say. But I can tell you, folks, if we look like the world, live like the world, smell and act like the world, we can't expect the world to go any further than what we are. And they're not going to reverence. And in that battle, it doesn't make any difference how we shout in the church. We bring them in, and it's sad to see where we are. Why is it we've got the world hid among our stuff? It's right there. A lot of times, and it ain't even hid very much now. It's brought out and open. At least Achan did bury it under his tent. And most of the church today, they just bring it right out in the open. Now, do you think that Achan would have looked guilty if he'd have put that Babylonian garment on? Somebody would have reported him to Joshua just like that.
Yeah.
But he didn't put it on. He hid it among this stuff. Today it's being put on and it's still not being reported. Everything's all right. We know the sin of taking the things that is accursed of the world among our stuff, and we're still doing it and bringing it right out in the open. Listen, folks, I know that Jesus stated the love of money is the root of all evil. Here was the style of the world, if you will. It was something better they thought. Why is it today that a lot of Christians want to stall after Hollywood? I can tell you why it is, huh? If you want to know. They're fashioning and they're living after Hollywood. All that God is just a byword and a feel good and an escape goat. When trouble comes, they pray that He's there. Or when a difficulty, they get in a battle, they don't think, we can handle AI all right. I can tell you, we think we can, but we can't. Without Him going before us, without our lives being sanctified. And I know every one of us have seen, probably just about everybody in this house, and myself included, I believe I'm coming back in a different way than what I used to be in the preaching and in the gospel. But folks, I have let down tremendously in my meditation, in my prayer life. Not that I'm going out and taking things of the world and bringing it, even though, I want to tell you folks, every one of us, if we don't stop letting down, it won't be long until even right here at White Oak will be just like all the other churches. And all the encouragement I'm getting from most folks is helping me to just about want to just quit preaching. Now, I know Diana will tell me you shouldn't say that. She ain't the one having to preach. When everything's going good and everybody's on top of the mountain. Now right here I will say, still here at White Oak, I don't know of any church I'd rather preach. I don't know of any church I'd rather preach in than right here. But folks, I can tell in the last, this year, in the months of this year, what are we in, the 6 months? I can tell that this year we have changed dramatically. I mean, we're not like we was. Maybe that most of us are just wore down. Maybe that we're so occupied. Do you know, I find out when you get older, your mind only handles so much. And if I do a lot of foolishness, there was a time I could do that maybe and get by with it a little. But if I do a lot of foolishness, guess what? When I come to the house of God, I'm foolish. Hello? Is that registering anywhere? It ain't just the preacher. In fact, if preaching's all I need to do, I can preach at home. But it's you I'm preaching to. And when you come to the house of God, if you've hid a lot of the Babylonian garments or the gold or the silver among your stuff, the things God said leave alone, if you put it among your stuff, if you've been a partaker of it, number one, we have to be sanctified or that's going to happen. Now the people were sanctified, the victory was there, but it's hard to keep that victory. We got to be sanctified every day. We've got to die every day. We've got to repent every day. We've got to ask for God's help every day of our life. Every day of our life. Let me hurry and finish with this part, and then we're going to go on. The church is not fearing and reverent God, so the world's not us. And now we see in most of the churches, here's what you hear. I believe if we could build, and you know, we've tried to build. I don't know why we've never got to build. Might be we couldn't stand it. I don't know. We thought once we was going to get started, and there was some said, make me no difference which way you go. It ain't going to hurt my feelings if you don't use what I think or what I say. And guess what? He's the first one got their feelings hurt. Now, they're not here tonight, and don't try to figure out who it is because it don't make no difference anyhow. They got their feelings hurt simply because it didn't go the direction they wanted to go. And then finally I said, and this has been several years ago, what, a dozen years ago maybe. And God said, you may be financially able to start a building, but you're not spiritually able. And so we never did get lifted off the ground. And here we've got a little funds to get started in it, and here come up the thing with the deed. So we never did get lifted off the ground. And I don't know, folks, I'm just saying, God, is it your will or is it not? Here's the thing. In this day that we live, everybody else is building new sanctuaries. And I can tell you this. Most of the churches I know that's built new sanctuaries has went as carnal as a hog. And they're more concerned, they're afraid for the kids to come, afraid they're going to mess up the carpet, afraid they're going to mess up the pews. That's one of the reasons. If I build a house, I'm putting a cement floor in it, hit it with a hammer, if you will. I'm going to use logs, run into it, and it may knock you out, but you ain't going to damage, ain't going to go through the sheetrock, ain't going to be none. So I said, whatever it is, we shouldn't build or do something where we'd be scared for folks to use it, be a part of it. Let it be a part of them. But I can see here that as we begin to look at this, I fear for what's coming upon the church in this hour we live. Most of the people today, they're saying, well, what we really need to get a crowd, if we got to work with our youth, and I understand that, and I believe that. But I can tell you, in days gone by, Sister Joanne, we've had one of the greatest youth groups here, and still do, not as big in number, but still have a great youth group. But we've had 40 and 50 youth here, young adults and youth, and on fire for God. And it wasn't because we offered them a gymnasium. It wasn't because we had a softball team. Nothing wrong with those things in its place. But listen, folks, people today are thinking that if we can just begin to compromise a little bit and act like the world and look like the world and bring things of the world in, let's bring some of those rockers in to get our youth excited. If we can do this, then they're saying we can have a youth group and we can see our church grow and we can build. But I can tell you what will cause growth is when we get the dread of God back in our lives and the fear and the reverence of God. When we begin to sanctify and set our lives apart. Listen, in the consequences of what Achan did not just affect him, but it affected his family. They all died because of this. Everything Achan had was cursed along with him. And not only that, but Israel was affected in this. God said, this is a hard statement, friend, but God said, neither will I go with you anymore except. Now this is a great big word, except you destroy. In chapter 6, was it verse number 18, that he said, see that in no any wise you don't take of the accursed thing. This was an individual thing every one of them had to do. I couldn't do it for you. You couldn't do it for me. Everyone had to do it themselves. And now it's come down because somebody didn't. It affected all of them. God said, I ain't going with you. I'm not going. When the church marches out in victory, I'll not be there. And there'll be no victory. It'll be defeat because you're bringing stuff of the world in. And God cannot be worshipped in that. God's a holy God. And He'll not take things that's a curse to begin to praise Him and worship Him. And I can tell you, friend, we're under that curse until Jesus came. The Bible says, by one man's sin, all were made sinners. It was because Adam took of the accursed thing, if you will. But now, because of one man's obedience, all were made righteous through him. And listen, that death penalty was passed upon Leodi. I was destined to hell. I was destined. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. my Lord. And listen, folks, just as all those, do you know it wasn't just the 36 men? It wasn't just the house of Achan, but all of Israel now is destined to death because the curse is put up on them until the curse was taken care of. And so I can tell you, folks, it took death, and because of the death of Jesus Christ, now the accursed thing in Leodi's life is taken care of. That sin, if I bring it before Him and I confess it, John said He's just and faithful to forgive Leodi of his sins. He's just and faithful to forgive you. And then He said, I'll go with you in the battle. Woo! The best news anybody ever heard that's going to be in a battle is that they've got a God that's never lost a battle going before Him. He's not going to forsake them. He's going to go before them. He's going to go before them. Listen, as we're trying to come to a close, the children of Israel, after they had dealt with sin, you know, sin's ugly. I'd a whole lot rather talk about victories, had you not? Man, this rain, this old drought, is just plumb discouraging. And when the rain come, I guarantee you there's more folks talked about the drought than they did after the blessing of the rain. How you know that? I know that. It ain't been me, though. I guarantee you, about the first thing somebody asked me, what do you know? I know the Lord's good, and whoo, wasn't that rain wonderful? We prayed, and the Lord sent it. I told two or three just Tuesday, I believe it was. I said, listen, I was out in the field. One of them was a old Baptist man, and I said, I was out in the field. And I said, even though we had that rain last week, got 1 3/4 inches last Sunday and Monday, but I said, it's so dry. And I said, Lord, how we need rain. I said, I was praying for my sister-in-law that's in the hospital. I was there in the field, about midways down through the field by the sawmill down by Ricky Hudson's. And I just, when I began to pray for my sister-in-law, I said, Lord, I see a cloud there. And I said, we sure need some rain. I said, it wasn't 2 hours till it's raining, probably about 1.5 hours. And I'm telling you, it rained. And I said, and he just chuckled real big, and he said, didn't take long for God to hear and answer that, did it? And I said, no, sir. And I said, I'm going to tell everybody I can think of how God intervened, how God come to the rescue, and now God's given a miracle. When the doctor said there's no hope, my sister-in-law's on a ventilator on life support for what, 3 days, 4 days, and no hope, but now they're saying she's going to completely recover as far as they can tell. I can tell you, folks, prayer still works. If we get sincere, you know, it may not have rained a drop had not I been in the spirit of prayer for my sister-in-law. Somebody said, well, it might have too. It might have, but it may not. It could have rained at Harrison does a lot. Not rain a drop on Leo Dye's old dry ridge. It'd serve us right if we got what we deserved. Could it make us pray? It could very well get our hearts turned back in the directions of God. Listen, folks, Joshua in prayer, he brought the 12 tribes. And guess where it fell? It fell in the tribe of Judah. Prayer, God revealed, here's where the problem lies, and He brought by the sons of Judah. And here's Achan of the tribe of Judah. Here's Achan. And God said, that's the one. Joshua said to Achan, said, my son, give God the glory and confess. Now, does that ring a bell? If we confess, now I don't know, the Old Testament's entirely different than the New Testament. But I can tell you this, as Achan began to confess, and he said, I have sinned, and I have taken of the accursed thing. He realized right then that curse was lifted from Israel. Why? Because it's confessed. It's dealt with. until the church realizes we've got issues that's not been confessed. We've hid it, and now it's been brought out, and we've accepted it. God said, accept, not that you accept it, but accept you destroy it. I'll not be a God of battles going before you. You're not going to have victory. Not a lot of victory in most lives today. Not a lot of victory in most marriages. Not a lot of victory in most parent and children relationships. Not a lot of victory in most workers, employer relationships. There's not a lot of victory entirely in this world, is there? And the reason for that, we're not paying the price. If we think for one moment, if we think for one moment we can keep going with things that God says is not supposed to be there, everybody else is doing it, preacher. Now, just, you know, you better watch it. You better be careful. That's a pretty sure sign we hadn't ought to do it if everybody else is doing it. And I don't care if little Johnny and little Susie's doing it. And I don't care if Granny and Grandpa's fell into it. Was it Brother Derek sent it? Said he went to a Razorback. Was a Super Bowl or whatever they have. I don't know what they have. I done forgot what he called it. But I know he said Razorback. And I forget where it was. Way off. And he said, I kind of wanted to go. And somebody said, $300 tickets. He said, there's not a ball game on planet Earth worth $300. I wouldn't pay $300 to watch no ball game or no game, period. And somebody, a friend, called him and said, I got an extra ticket if you want to go. And he said, well, if it's paid for, I'll go. He said, I'm sitting in the bloody nose section. I think that's what he called it. Where they get real radical. It's down low, I guess, where you can see good. And he said, I believe he said that there was, I want to think he said 90,000 people. This is, what is it when they come to the end of the, they're doing all these games and they come, this is the big one. Is that the Super Bowl? Anyway, he's sitting there. And he said, when they, one of them made a touchdown, football. I've always thought that was the silliest game I've ever seen played anyhow, but football. And when they made a touchdown, said they was 85, 90-year-old women jumping up, screaming, hollering, and high-fiving little kids. And it was from 3-5 years old to 90 years old. And they're high-fiving. And he said, I mean, them old ladies are going, whoo, sweet pig, whoo, sweet pig. And said, they're just making a literal fool of themselves. And he said, God began to convict my heart. And here's people that you'd have thought they would have been in the rest home, being that age and broke down. And you'd thought they knew better. But he said, they set out in bleachers, old hard bleachers, stand most of the time for a 4-hour game. And every time that their team gets across that goal line carrying that ball, they'd jump up and go to dance and high-five and a hollering pig suey. All this foolish stuff. And I'll guarantee you, the majority of them was religious folks.
Yeah,
and we wonder why today we don't have the victory. We don't have the victory. Listen, folks. Is it going to get easier? Nah. You could have said a lot of things. And not. Now, if you go to the First Church of the Deadhead, they're going to tell you it is. They're going to tell you it is, but no, it isn't. It's going to get harder. The battles are going to get more intense. They're going to get harder than they've ever been. But folks, we make mistakes. Every one of us do. Now, I'm not telling you that from time to time, old Leo Dye's eyes hadn't looked at that Babylonian garment. Leo Dye's eyes hadn't looked at that those shekels of silver and wedge of gold. I'm not telling you they haven't. But I'm telling you this. When we start looking as Lot did at the well-watered plains, we better begin to stop right there, because when we pitch our tent toward the world, that means we're going to become part of the world. And the accursed. Call yourself what you will. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. We're not if we're cursed. God can't bless the accursed. If he did, he is going against his nature. His nature is holy. And if he blesses the accursed, he's going against his nature. God can't bless the accursed. Somebody come get us a song.